wonderful to know that we can know. And I'm glad the Lord has given us many invitations. For those who hunger and thirst, they shall be filled with His righteousness. And Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Jesus said, come unto me. So I'm glad this morning that we all can know the Lord. From the least to the greatest, whatever that might mean. Every one of us can know Him and the power of His salvation. The power that He has to deliver from sin and the antagonizing things of life that sometimes beset us. I'd like for us to look this morning into the Scriptures. I believe it was Paul that said, not to be weary, not to faint, not to be weary and wanting to and doing the right thing, said that we will definitely reap if we faint not. Jesus mentioned our labors. He said those labors that beset us or would crush us or hinder us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Bible recognizes weariness of the flesh. The Bible recognizes the weariness of the soul. And the Bible recognizes the weariness of the spirit. The Bible recognizes our humanity and the effects of living in an unjust world subject to all the physical and all the mental phenomena that go on, that they're taxing. And the Lord recognizes, the Bible recognizes the price it can exert from us. The Bible knows that we worry. The Bible knows we carry burdens, and it tells us about those things. About sorrow, about disappointments. It runs the full gamut of everything you and me encounter that is less than perfect. The Bible says, I know that. God says, I know that. The Lord does not chasten us for being human. The Lord chastens us when we resort to those human frailties as our strength or our hope. Or we let those things come upon us that make us fear and get our eyes off the Lord. Then the Lord comes and He chastens us. And I'm glad it's love and chastening. I'm glad it's with a purpose in mind to restore us and to encourage us and set our feet aright, set our thinking aright, to redirect our eyesight back to Him. This morning, a couple of words have come to my mind this week, and one of them is something that every one of us need. It's over in 1 John, the 11th, second chapter of 1 John. I want to borrow or use this word for a little bit. 1 John 2 and 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. Sin, if it slips up, or God forbid we should yield to it, we have an advocate. More generally speaking, weary, tired, confused, mistreated, we have an advocate. Lost in our sense of direction, confused as to what the answer should be and is, we have an advocate. Life is hurt. Relatives are unkind. Relatives are unsaved. We have an advocate. Not enough money? The job's not going well? You getting weary? Tired? Need an answer? You need someone to judge you, judge for you. We have an advocate. In all things, that you and me might be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us, God recognized we need an advocate. We need an advocate in a very special place, at the throne of grace. Well, that narrows it down to who's going to be my advocate. If I got a traffic ticket, and I thought I was innocent, and I didn't want to pay it, I could open up. If you ever look, I didn't do it on purpose, but one day I happened to look, and in the yellow pages in the book opened to the A's. Have you ever looked at the pages in the phone book, Oklahoma City, can you imagine New York? The pages that are dedicated to advocacy, called lawyers. I'm not demeaning lawyers. It's just a lot of them out there. And I could go through there and pick out one. And he might have a little ad telling me what or she specializes in. I could retain them and they could go to the judge and plead my case. Not hard to get a lawyer these days. But this that I need an advocate with is not before a human judge with human reasoning, but I need an advocate at the throne of God's grace, in the very throne room of heaven. Well, right there, that disqualifies every lawyer and advocate on the earth. I've got to start looking beyond lawyers of this earth or advocates on this earth. And He said to you and me, His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Has become, through His graces and His mercy, mine and your advocate. Folks, that makes us blessed. That's better than Perry Mason. That's better than the highest paid lawyer on earth. That's the greatest of the greatest. There's none greater. And to think that that righteousness has been extended to us through Jesus, the scepter of God's righteousness, and now you and me in the perils of life, in the temptations of life, we have an advocate. Get a hold of that. Simple little statement. But I'm afraid for me, and maybe you, sometimes we forget we have an advocate at the throne of grace. The righteous Son of God interceding for mankind. Specifically for you and specifically for me. Interceding to the one who can change things. Who can make things different. Who can, yes, work with the enemies, but more specifically, work with you and work with me. Talk with us and advise us and show us, gently correct us, gently lead us, wonderfully encourage us, hold us in His arms, and give us a rest that pertains and belongs to the people of God. An advocate who can do something. Interceding to us to a God who is all-wise, powerful, and mighty, and loving, and kind, and generous, and long-suffering, and understanding. What a relationship we can have. We do need advocates. I do. One who pleads another's cause with one or an intercessor. That's part of the definition. And then it goes on in the definitions and gives one in a more general sense. A helper, a succor, one who aids, an assistant. Do you and me, do we ever find ourselves in need of assistance? Have we reached a plateau of independence and power that we don't need help? Is our mind sharp enough and are we understanding enough to say, I don't need any more help? I'm the mechanic in the family. Now that's a very limited mechanic. But I fix the things that need fixing around the house 99% of the time. Karen's bicycle was a little out of adjustment. So we had it in the shop there yesterday and I was looking at it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really want to do it right then. You ever get in those places? You're supposed to do it, but you don't want to do it right then, but she wants to ride the bicycle. So I said, you don't understand that it's just not simple as turning a screw or a bolt, but this thing, one activates another, and oh, it's on and on. But I wanted her to be able to ride the bike, too. I went to work on it. Not exactly enthralled with the idea. So there I was working on it, and I said, well, this needs to move, but it won't. And guess who started looking at it and coming up with the answers? My assistant. We all need assistance, don't we? I said, well, you're right, it does. So I got that part kind of straightened out. And then I forgot exactly what other little part was. And I said, well, this is supposed to do so-and-so, but, you know, I'm not going to be able to fix that. So guess who got to looking around and said, well, doesn't so-and-so do this? Guess who was right? We never get to a place that we don't need assistance, do we? We never get to a place that we say, I can do it myself. God has agreed to be our assistant through Jesus Christ the righteous. This morning, wherever you may be, whatever dilemma you may face or have faced, whatever question has arisen in your life, I want you to know something. We have a helper, an aider, a succor, an assistant. We have one who will intercede and plead our cause. One that will speak to the Father for us. One that you and me ourselves can go direct boldly to God Himself in His name, Jesus' name, and plead our cause. The righteousness of Christ makes you and me able to come to the throne of grace. He has extended to us through Jesus the approval of the righteousness of Christ, stretched forth His scepter that you and me can come and ask of Him, intercede or plead with Him for all the burdens of life. Over in Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, you remember how that starts off? It gets down into the third verse. And I want to talk about that a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. If we understood more about shepherds, and we today don't totally except what we might read from history, the shepherd is all important to the sheep. The shepherd can make or break the sheep. The sheep are dependent on the shepherd. They're dependent on the shepherd's wisdom, knowledge of the land, for protection from the enemy, for the water, which pasture to be in, when to put them in the fold, when to let them out of the sheepfold, how to construct the sheepfold, how to watch the sheep for parasites, to scan the land for places that they could fall and lay on their back and not be able to get up. And the Bible said, the Lord, the Creator, Jehovah God, is that to me. Everything. A father to the fatherless, a husband to the widow. He is absolutely in all things, all in all. The Lord. Now we can have an advocate with Him. We do. And I shall not be in want. I shall not be destitute. I shall not be without a hope. I shall not be without a recourse. I think sometimes about people, we let things happen to us as if we have no recourse. I just got to bear it. I just got to suffer it. I've just got to be me the rest of my life. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I have a recourse. I have something I can do. If there's personality traits about me that are detrimental to my salvation and my hope and my joy, my victory, I have something I can do. I can go talk to the shepherd. I have an advocate. I have a judge. I have someone that can rightly divide in my life. I have someone that can change me and minister to me and pour balm on me and whatever's necessary. I don't have to go around and want. And He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We can trust Him. And I don't know all you get out of this. But the leadings of the Lord are for my benefit. Sometimes the Lord will lead us in a way that seems harsh or even hard. Sometimes the Lord will lead us in a way that we are a little fearful in. But if we will believe today, that's the reason the children of Israel did not enter into the rest that God had for them, was they would not believe. This morning, God help our unbelief. God stir up our soul to believe. If we can understand and believe from our heart, God is not leading us over rough, craggy ground just for the sake to see our knees get bruised. He's doing it because that's the easiest way for us. In that we will not understand or obey or to make the understanding be illuminated in us. We've got sometimes to understand our own personal ways have got us on the old craggy ground. Not necessarily God. If we can believe today that His intent is to cause us to lie down and rest in green pastures and to be led beside the still waters, that's God's intent. We interrupt that sometimes and I'll have to go the bumpy way. Then He said in the third verse, He restoreth my soul. Thank the Lord. God is in the restoration business. The sinner, He wants to save the sinner and restore them to right standing before Him. The Lord wants to and does look down on His saints and He sees us. Boy, does He see us. I'll say that He sees us. He sees us to the degree that all things are naked and open. I can't get, if I could, which I can't, but if I could get up in this pulpit, guess who would see me in there? God would see me. I cannot let my mind go into denial enough for God not to see me. I cannot unbelieve enough, if that's proper to say it that way, that God doesn't see me. David said, if I go way up, you're there. If I go way down, you're there. Where can I go to get away from you, be out of your sight? to allow to return. Aren't you glad this morning God does not mark iniquity to the degree that should you sin or when you did sin as a sinner, that was it? Aren't you glad this morning God is in the restoration that He allows us to return? This morning, if you or me have wandered from the Lord, not to the degree that we are out of the kingdom, but our joy, our peace, our hope has been disturbed, the Lord will allow us to return. May God help us this morning to be thankful in the Lord and in the God of our salvation. Remember, He's on our side. He is our advocate. He is the one that not only judges us, but He pleads our cause before Himself, if you will. I don't understand that completely. But God is our advocate to Himself. Knowing our frame, knowing our problems, knowing the conditions that beset us, knowing our mental makeup, our physical makeup, knowing what I think and how I react to certain situations, knowing what has hurt me and whether it should or should not, it hurt me. We have an advocate. Knowing, you know, unrealistic fears. I have unrealistic fears of heights. I knew someone that had an unrealistic fear of dogs to the degree that a little puppy, 8 weeks old, would terrify them. Do you know the Lord knows that we are susceptible to unrealistic fears? Aren't you glad He understands that? Aren't you glad the Lord knows we're susceptible to temptation? Aren't you glad He understands that? Aren't you glad He's really there to be an advocate for us? Aren't you glad that when we step over that line of wisdom, step over that line of being pragmatic about everything, aren't you glad that when we step over that line of being absolutely spiritual and everything and we just didn't quite measure up, aren't you glad God loves us and understands us? He restores our soul. Have you ever acted unspiritual? You don't have to raise your hand. Unless I'm the only one, you probably have. Have you ever done something and you said, the Lord would not have done that? I want to tell you who's going to come around about the end of the devil. But I want you to know something. Don't ignore that mistake. Don't ignore that unspiritual act. I want to tell you the best thing to do when you recognize it. If you can't get on your knees and you're driving a car, don't shut your eyes, but start praying and tell God. Admit it. I was wrong. I don't like myself when I do that. I don't like that. I don't want that. Ask forgiveness. I'm not saying it's okay to do those things. Not at all. But God knows us. Don't be crushed. We have an advocate. And God restores our soul. The soul is that self. It's the life itself. It's the creature. It's the person. It's the appetite. It's the mind. This is out of Strong's. It's the living being itself. The soul can be our desire and our emotion, our passion. It's that part of us that breathes. It's the breathing substance or the being itself. It is the inner being of man. It's the seat of our appetites, our emotions, and our passions. Aren't we all of those things? Sure we are. Are you emotional? Sure you are. Do you have passions and appetites? We all do. Do we have a mind? Are we a living being? Do you have desires? Sure you do. That's your soul. That's the part of you that God made us different. Don't come here to me saying we're just animals evolved. Folks, we're so far different and removed from the animal world. We got a heart and a lung and a nose, but that's about all that we're like the animals. We're so far removed from the animal kingdom, it's an insult to the majesty of God to say we evolved. We are so complex and fearfully made, it booms out of us. There is a creator. There's something greater than evolution. You get a bunch of white-faced cows in the field, and I want to tell you something. They all act about alike. Oh, you'll get one a little different than the other, but they all act just about alike. You get 100 people together, everything's different among humanity. That's our soul. That's our being. That's that life-giving force that God is. Got a little note here. All of the above, those things that we just mentioned about the soul, can become exhausted. They can become hurt. And they can become broken. And they can be separated from the right path. They can deviate and move away. And they can become endangered. Our soul can become endangered. Because of the injustice and the frailties of life all around us. The psalmist said, He restores my soul. When my passions and my desires have been moved away, when I have been attacked on these very things, He restores my soul. Here's what a commenter, one who comments on the Bible, wrote. This, He restoreth my soul. I think it's noteworthy. I agree pretty much with this writing. This scripture, He restoreth my soul, it refers to the spirit when exhausted. Now, I'm not trying to put the saints in an exhausted loophole here. But folks, I've been around enough, been human 62 years now. I've been a human being. And I get exhausted sometimes. This applies, he said, to the spirit of the soul when exhausted, when weary, sad. And the meaning is that God quickens the spirit when thus exhausted. Can we get that meaning today? Was getting up coming to service wearisome to you? God restores. Is the thought about going through a revival hard to think about? God restores. Have you prayed for something to the point that you're teetering on not being able to believe it's going to happen? You're exhausted? God restores. Have you been hurt, angered, to the point that, what's the use? God restores. Have you looked out and saw more of the enemy than you did of us, and it's caused you to doubt and fear? God restores. Are you fighting against the sickness that's exhausted you? God restores. The reference here, he said, is not to the soul of a wandering. I think it could be that. But to the life or spirit as exhausted, weary, troubled, anxious, worn down with care and toil. The heart thus exhausted, he reanimates. He brings back to its vigor. He encourages it. He excites it to new effort. Fills it with new joy. End of quote. That's what God wants to do with us through His Word and through His Spirit. And the good news this morning is we have an advocate for us. We have someone that says to them, I can say to my advocate, I am tired, I'm weary, I'm worn, I'm afraid. I don't understand, it's not fair. But Lord, I don't want to be endangered by it. I don't want to be defeated by it. Father, in Jesus' name, I plead my cause. He restores our soul. He restores it. He brings back the vitality. He reanimates that is losing ground. Thank God this morning. This is a very victorious way. But it's also a reality that we get weary, that we get things happen to us. We need someone to help us. We need an advocate. We need some restoration at times. This is my point this morning. We don't have to go outside the confines of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God. The words that He speaks to us, Jesus said, 6 and 63 of John, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, that life-giving force, the part of us that is life itself. That's the eternal part, if you will. They're spirit. They're from the Spirit of God. And they are life. Not only are these things that you and I suffer, get weary, get tired, get hurt, get discouraged, get attacked by, not only are they uncomfortable, but folks, they can be dangerous. And that's the reason I'm against them. I am against looking on things more than I am looking on Jesus. I think sometimes one of our biggest problems is we get to looking at the problem instead of the solution. We get to looking at the back set more than the hope that is set before us. We begin to look at the question more than we look for the answer. Hebrews 12 and 2 said, looking unto Jesus. And He said of Him, He is the author. And I'm glad He added this, the finisher of the faith. Not only did Christ establish the church, He is able to keep the church. Not only is He able to keep it, but that which He began in every one of us, He's able to accomplish it and finish it out. This word finish can very well mean that we started with the Lord and we can end with the Lord. But you know what else He can mean? And I'm probably a little out of context here. He can finish it. Make it presentable to the Father. Have you ever been in 4-H or Ags and you've got a show steer or a lamb or an animal of some kind? And you take real good care of it, keep records of all your feed, etc., etc. But then as it comes up to the time you're going to start showing that animal, start grooming it, clipping it, washing it, currying it, you start feeding it special grain. You monitor it real close. You're finishing it out. You want it to be able to stand before the judge and say, that gets the blue ribbon. Well, I want to use that word finisher here. Like I say, it's probably out of context here, but it may not be. But God wants to perfect us. God wants to come and feed us. God wants to come and groom us. God wants to come and minister to us. God wants to come and take the thorns of life and what they're doing to us and put them under Him. He's the author. And we can stand as a glory to Him on the judgment day. Paul said it this way, none of these things move me. Folks, be careful. Paul said it. That implies to me that the intent of some of those things that happened to Paul certainly was to move him. Get him away from. Here is the danger I see in looking too much and getting too weary and getting too worn. We'll start giving up. We'll start losing our hope. So that sense, they're dangerous. You put enough pressure on a person long enough. As a boy, I had an uncle that, let's be truthful, I idolized him. And he and I'd wrestle. Of course, he was older and stronger. And he'd let me win for a while. After a while, he'd get me in a hole somewhere and He wouldn't let me go till I said calf rope. Now, what calf rope means, I do not know. But that was what I had to say. That means I give up. You get people under enough pressure, enough stress, in and of themselves, we will say calf rope. We can't help it because we're human. Everybody's got different degrees, but we'd all say it. We need an advocate. And Paul had that advocate. And he said, none of these things move me. The danger, folks, in getting weary and not appealing to our advocate, not allowing the Lord to restore us, not humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, is the devil's trying to get us to holler calf rope, trying to get us to holler I surrender, trying to get us to sin, trying to get us to hate, trying to get us to have carnal passions and turn on one another or on this God Himself. That battle you're going through, don't you think God doesn't know it, but don't you think the devil doesn't know it? That weariness you feel, please let God restore you. That hurt, that thing that you know is not fair, please be restored. Please allow the Lord to minister to you. Please, please, please turn your life over to the advocate. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to come up with the answer. Don't try to plight your own course. Turn it over to the advocate. You know, you go to the courthouse and you can be your own advocate for the judge, before the judge and the jury. But they will caution you and caution you and caution you and plead with you, please don't do this. It's not even wise to be your own advocate. They know it. There's things that only a lawyer knows and another lawyer, it's just don't do it. They'll tell you. You're foolish to be your own advocate in a court of law. So they say, and from what I've seen, maybe you're right. I suspect it is. Please, please, for our soul's sake. That's the thing. For our soul's sake. For the soul of the congregation. For the soul of the church. For the soul of your children. For the soul of your unsaved loved ones. Oh, listen, don't be your own advocate. Don't try to win on your own path. Don't try to work it all out. Don't try to come up with the answers. Don't try to pump yourself up when you're weary. Fall on your knees before the advocate and say, Father, help me, lest I perish. It's too dangerous down here, Lord, by myself. I don't want it at all. Pick up the phone and say, Saint, pray for me. Cry out. And the psalmist said, He restoreth my soul. Pent up weariness, pent up emotions can breed resentment. And folks, when you resent something, it's lost its power to persuade. It's lost its authority to help. And God Himself cannot work over resentment sometimes. Are you feeling resentful this morning? It's a human emotion. You know that, don't you? Confess it. That doesn't mean you're a sinner. It means you're so human that you resented something. You know what we do? We harbor resentment as people, I mean. And you know what that does? That separates us from the guidance of the Lord. Something's happened in your life and you just outright resent it. I'm saying this very frankly this morning because, folks, that's where we are. We're human. You better take that resentment and say, God, I'm sorry. I resent so-and-so. I resent what happened. I resent. Ask Him for mercy. And say, Lord, Jesus, You're my advocate. Plead my case. Then the writer in Hebrews said, this is wonderful. Then Jeremiah, Isaiah said, underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Isaiah 66, somewhere in there, talks about, and he would take us and dandle us on his knees. Then the Hebrew writer said it there this way, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Be encouraged this morning. You've got an advocate. Oh, what an advocate. Unlike any other, the only one of his kind, he can go to the Father. You and me can go to the Father in his name. God the Father has extended an audience to us in his name. And we can come boldly this morning and find grace to help us in the time of need. Now, whose fault is it if we don't get help? If the way has been made and the invitation has been given and the advocate has been provided, whose fault is it if we linger in weariness? I'm not trying to upbraid any of us for being weary, because I promise you we all will be. Where the correction comes is, do I receive the correction of understanding that I'm looking on those things now that make me weary instead of looking up on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith? Thank God this morning, wherever we are, whatever case life has caught us in, the good news is we have an advocate, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, let me borrow a little more of your time. If you retain a lawyer and pay him $200, $300, $400 an hour, you better trust him as much as you can trust humanity. And you better stay out of his way. And you better let him do the work. I'm saying that to say this. I believe there's something about me, maybe you, that wants Jesus to help us, and we want to tell Jesus how to help us. We want Jesus to help us, but we want it to be comfortable. We want it to be the way that we envisioned it would be. Abandon that. Fling yourself, cast yourself out recklessly like a chip on the ocean. And let God's purpose fulfill. Let Him direct your case. Listen to Him. Obey Him. Follow Him. And He will direct you in a way that will restore you. I make a mistake by putting my hands on the advocate's shoulders and saying, now, this is the way I want you to look. This is the way I want you to do. Let Him guide us. And you know what? He'll lead us to that beautiful land called heaven. And another thing He will do, He will lead us with joy on this path called life as we go to heaven. You pray for me.